Hello, and welcome to Small Talk, a podcast from Contemporary Pediatrics. I'm Miranda Hester, and this episode is part one of a discussion with Dr. Andrew Schumann, a clinical assistant professor of pediatrics at the Geisel School of Medicine at Dartmouth, and also a practicing pediatrician, about the 2021 Evaluation and Management Coding Update. So, Dr. Schumann, why did the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services develop new guidelines for evaluation and management coding?
We've had the old guidelines for 25 years, and they've been very difficult for physicians, and it involved overuse of our EHRs, and it was felt to be responsible in many ways for a large percentage of physician burnout. So it was decided in 2017 that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services would revamp their guidelines, and in doing so, try to make them less burdensome for physicians. And they did this over a period of time, getting a lot of input from a lot of different people, including the American Medical Association. So it was a very difficult system, and one that involved very detailed notes, very long notes, that involved certain components of the history and physical, as well as medical decision making and plan of care. So it's much better than it was. It still needs improvement, but it is a striking improvement over what we've had for the last 25 years.
Okay, so what role did the AMA play in providing guidance for the new codes?
Okay. As I mentioned, CMS had input from a lot of different factions in the medical community. They were planning to simplify codes, and they also were planning to merge codes, which were going to be very disadvantaging physicians in terms of compensation. So the AMA stepped in and provided a reality check and made certain recommendations. There is a committee within the AMA, which is the RVS Update Committee called the ROC, and they did make a lot of suggestions which were adopted by CMS. We don't have a melding of various codes, but we do have a dropping of certain prior burdensome recommendations. So they did a very good job. And a side benefit of their recommendations is that RVUs are increasing for those physicians that are compensated by a RVU model. It's estimated that pediatrician salaries may go up as much as 20% if they are compensated by an RVU model.
Okay, so what effect does the coding system have on productivity for pediatricians who are compensated via a WRVU model?
Okay, as I just mentioned, it is probably going to increase significantly by as much as 20% or more, depending on how it's being implemented. Now, usually if you're in a RVU model, you're dependent on your employer to adopt and implement that model. In our institution, they have not implemented the new RVU model in terms of increasing the RVUs for certain procedure codes, visit codes, et cetera, but they say they will do so during the summer. So it should be retroactive to the first of the year when the new guidelines went into effect. It does not affect compensation of pediatricians if you're not reimbursed by the RVU model. So you're going to get paid by the insurance companies whatever your practice or your institution has negotiated with them based on the particular code that you bill for.
Okay, so prior to the new guidelines, what were the elements of an office note that needed to be supplied to be in compliance?
There were very strict requirements regarding how you needed to document your patient history, elements that needed to be included, how you wrote your physical exam. And that was before you got to medical decision making or the time spent with the patient. So, in essence, a lot of people were forced to write very detailed and very long notes, which did not assist at all in patient management or care. So, it was referred for many years as note bloat. So, right now we have the ability to shorten and sweeten our notes. This is particularly important in a primary care environment, where it's important to be able to specify and identify what the problem is, what you're doing for the patient, so the next person who reads your note can understand it quickly and easily and assume the ongoing care of that patient. If you're a specialist, primary care doctors still appreciate some element of detail so we can understand the thought process involved. The new guidelines obviously apply to specialists as well as primary care doctors.
Okay, so what are the 2021 guidelines based on?
Okay. There are two different options for physicians. One is to base your coding on medical decision making, which we will discuss during the course of this interview. The other option, which works well in many circumstances, is a entirely time-based coding. And sometimes it's easier to do one versus another in the interest of most accurate coding. And we don't need to worry about history and physical as we did in the past. You just need to document whatever elements are necessary to support either the time spent with the patient or the medical decision making involved.
Thanks for listening to Small Talk. If you like us, be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.